from the latest happenings on the diamond.
With the team here the last couple days, Eric Haas had a big weekend, and pitchers love throwing to him. I mean, he's a great, great teammate.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
Some of these deals, and of course the way that the wild card picture is right now, if the narrative is that there might be teams that are both buying and selling.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Very interesting times in Brewersville, and we go to Sophia Minert for everything surrounding the Brew Crew. Good morning, Sophia. How are you doing today?
Hi, guys. Doing well. How are you?
Doing very well. Would you care to remind the world what the magic number is for the Milwaukee Brewers this morning?
It would be 9. We are down to single digits.
Very exciting. Very exciting. But again, we've talked about the expectations for this Brew Crew, for this team, and how, you know, we expect them to be in the postseason and hopefully make a deep run in the postseason. I got to tell you, last week's performances were not all that inspiring. How did the team react to not performing the way we had become accustomed to them performing, especially offensively?
Yeah, it was a really odd week because that's an area that they have been pretty consistent and. You know, to lose back-to-back series as well, that's something that they had not done since the end of July and the first week of August. It was right around the trade deadline that they did that. It was against the Nationals and the Braves, if I remember correctly. So, you know, it's even just losing back-to-back series just is unusual for them. But they've done such a good job of shortening stretches where they're struggling. You know, the longest losing streak that they've had all year has been 3 games. They're the only team in baseball that has not had a losing streak of 4 games or more. I think that tells you a lot about the team, right? Especially considering their youth and their inexperience, they've done a good job of shortening those stretches. So, you know, offensively, it was just like more chase we were used to seeing. They've done such a good job of putting the ball in play and not being so home run reliant. You know, and that obviously affects the running game and how they have consistently scored runs. So I think, you know, last night I think was really encouraging of just, it was just a really solid game all around, right? You get an off day, they know that they're going into a really challenging stretch here of 13 straight and against good potential postseason opponents. They're going to be seeing a lot of the Arizona Diamondbacks, 7 games against them. So I think, you know, they understand like what they have to do. And Murph said too, it's like there was some pressing going on last week, right? Everyone kind of knows the situation. You want to wrap up the division. You feel like you maybe have to do more to chase down the Phillies and the Dodgers. But at this point, it's, you know, it's Al Davis, right? It's just win, just keep winning and just see where you end up.
Sophia, which players are in line for Golden Glove?
Well, I would certainly hope that Bryce Turang gets one. If he does not get one, I mean, that is...
We're just blowing up Golden Gloves and they don't mean anything anymore, right?
We're just...
Really?
We're gonna,
he's that good at second.
The Gold Glove Awards are all by position, and then the Platinum Glove goes to, like, the overall best defender in each league. So, look, I think Bryce Turang, if he does not win one at second base, which last year that went to Nico Hoerner with the Cubs, I mean, we should just make him one, do an on-field presentation. I don't know. We're going to have to write that. We're going to file an appeal. I don't know what we're going to have to do with that one. I think you could also make a really good case for Blake Perkins. Brenton Doyle, who we just saw with the Rockies, he's got a phenomenal arm. He's been great defensively. But, you know, Blake now has 4 home run robbing catches. He's in double digits for defensive runs saved. I mean, what Blake has done defensively is, you know, should not go unnoticed. So in terms of on the Brewers roster, I think those are probably your 2 best candidates.
Dinger last night for Garrett Mitchell. Is he the guy they need a little bit more consistency to make sure the offense has a lot of good firepower heading into the postseason?
Yeah, that's we've talked about that with Murph, right? Is, you know, in the, you have to just, in the postseason, home runs obviously are are king, right? And so the way that the Brewers have scored, it's like they have not been one of the top home run hitting teams in the National League. They've been sort of middle of the pack, but they've scored in other ways. And I think that makes them a really interesting matchup in the postseason because it's unsettling, right? The pressure that they put on pitchers. They see a lot of pitches. They run like crazy. They have great base runners up and down the lineup. And then they also have the ability to hit power, right? Like Willy Adames, William Contreras. And then you throw in a guy like Mitchell, who he's got pop. If he's disciplined and he's worked on his ball strike, he's got it. And he's certainly capable of doing that. Rhys Hoskins, of course, who has awesome postseason experience. He seems to thrive in the postseason. He's definitely capable of giving you power. So they're going to have to do it differently probably than other teams because they just have not consistently, you know, mashed like a team like the Phillies or a team like the Dodgers, right? Like their top four hitters in their lineup. But you need guys that are capable of it up and down. And I think, you know, Garrett, if he can get into a good place, he could absolutely be that guy and contribute to that.
Sophia Minnert hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. You're talking about the offensive side of the ball. Let's talk about the pitching staff for a minute because I know Murphy talked about how 13 games in 13 days, you got to get a little creative with the staff. What do you see them doing as far as who they're going to run out there every night?
Yeah, well, I guess let's start here. Fortunately, they're healthy, right? Knock on all the things. This is maybe the healthiest that they've been with their pitching staff at this point in the season. So, yes, 13 in a row. This is like the last long stretch with just 17 games remaining. So this is going to go fast. But, you know, you've got your five, right, that you've had. Aaron Civale last night. Colin Ray and Frankie Montas will start the rest of the series here. The one that could really be interesting is DL Hall, who we've seen three times now since he returned to the team. He was awesome in that doubleheader against the Reds, going seven scoreless, just saved everybody, honestly, game two of that doubleheader. And then he's been pitching out of the bullpen, but it's been more scripted appearances to keep him on a starter routine and keep him stretched out. And his stuff has looked really good. I think this is the best version of DL Hall that we have seen in his limited time here. So he could definitely be an option to maybe be a sixth man. They could go with an opener because they've got options in terms of length because Joe Ross has been so good. Aaron Ashby has come up and been so good over his last handful of appearances. Bryce Wilson is on the IL, but if he comes back, you're looking at another really good length option. So they have coverage and they have interesting options. You know, you could piggyback left-handed, right-handed. So it is going to be interesting what they do. It could be, you know, the weekend series for the Diamondbacks are looking ahead when they come home for that monster series against the Phillies, three games against them, and then another four against the Diamondbacks.
Sophia, who's the veteran leader or leaders of this team? Who's the guy or guys that's going to stand up before the Philadelphia, Arizona, and say, hey, guy, this is the season right here. We got to win all three of these to get that bye. It's going to be huge. Is it one guy or a couple guys?
It's a couple guys. So Murph, you know, at the start of the season, he's outlined kind of who he thinks the pillars, that's how he refers to them, like the pillars of this team are. And this veteran group, you know, they meet like at least once a month. Then he meets with the team overall, usually once a month. And then sort of as an as needed basis, right? He has individual conversations with players all the time, but this pillars veteran group that you're asking about, it's the guys that you would expect, right? It's Willy Adames and William Contreras and Christian Yelich and Wade Miley and Freddie Peralta. Devin Williams is in that group. I don't want to leave anybody out, Rhys Hoskins. So that's the group that he goes to the most. And again, they meet regularly. He's talking with them individually. They just had a meeting on the last homestand as we got into September. And, you know, it was obviously a tough homestand. So he lets them dictate, you know, what needs to be said, whether it's individually to the team, as an offensive group, as a pitching group, because, you know, as you know, I'm sure this is similar in football too, right? With like offense and defense, you know, the position players and the pitchers, it is one team, but just the rhythm of your day is different. Like, the work is different. So it's helpful to have guys in each of those, right? Freddie with the starters, Devin as the closer and as the reliever, and then several position players. And look, even the guys who are on the IL, Christian Yelich, Wade Miley, Brandon Woodruff, they're there for guys too. Mm-hmm. And they're still, you know, doing everything they can to be sort of as valuable as possible and just be great resources. So yeah, that's been the group, that Murph has identified from the beginning.
You mentioned the bullpen, and Devin's been so good. I think it's 7 scoreless now for him in his last 7 appearances, and Trevor McGill sharp mm-hmm. last night. Are we going to see Brian Hudson again before the end of the season after he was sent down last week?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he just pitched Saturday, and the minor league teams are all off on Monday, so he should be back at it this week with Nashville. And, you know, Murph told us that when they sent Hudson down, that was the toughest conversation he's had with any player this season about having to option them, because it really wasn't about performance. Hudson has had just such a good breakout season, right? I mean, all of the multi-inning appearances he's given them, such a great lefty option. He's been a huge reason why this bullpen has been so good. But, you know, the velocity was starting to tick down for him. This is a workload he's never had before in the big leagues. And, you know, they just wanted to get him right. And so you can option him. It's a little bit of, you know, roster roulette of kind of who is out of options and has options. And then just get him on a kind of a scripted schedule, a little less pressure, get him right, and then bring him up. And hopefully you get like a fresh, strong version of Brian Hudson for the stretch run here. So yeah, I would absolutely anticipate seeing him at some point.
I just realized this looking at the schedule, but the Brewers open the season at the Mets. They close the season hosting the Mets. That gives me plenty of time, mm-hmm. guys, to get my effing wah sign ready. Get my effing wah sign ready to go at AmFam Field. Cannot wait for that. Would you like to join me in the effing wah club, Sophia? I'll be president of the club. You can be vice president of the club. Maybe we'll need a treasurer or a secretary or something. We can bring these jokers along.
Can you refresh my memory?
F and where?
Yeah.
Sophia, F and where? Remember Reese Hoskins?
I'll let you do the...
Yeah. Across to McNeil.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah. McNeil was like, you're the dirtiest player I ever played against. Yeah. And he was like, effing
that was wonderful.
And he's doing the eyeballs, rubbing his eyeballs.
That's almost as good as the guy for the Dodgers that pitched for the Red Sox.
Oh, when he made the pouty face? Yeah. Joe Kelly?
Joe Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Joe Kelly, yeah. Everyone get your crying face emojis.
Exactly.
That was wonderful.
That's why I brought it up today. It gives people plenty of time. You got 2 weeks before the Mets come to town, and you can absolutely torment those Mets when they get to AmFam Field. All right, Sophia, thanks for hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one. We will talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Brewers back in action tonight against the Giants, wrapping up that series tomorrow. If you love sports betting, you got to make your way to the sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee tonight. Greg Matzik, Ben Brust, and I will be down there for the Weekly Wager. It's a weekly show on sports betting right from the sportsbook broadcast booth. And we will be giving you our best bets of the week. Remember, I went 4-2 last week, feeling pretty good about keeping up that streak. If you're in a rush, they have free 20-minute reserve parking spaces near the Skywalk. They have figured it all out. It's a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie. We want you to get in on the action.